Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priest. We are happy to be back this week. And with us today, we have a very exciting guest, our second guest on the program since we started this podcast. And his name is Chris Mikhailidis. He is a jiu-jitsu practitioner based out of here in Toronto. He's 39 years old. He's a two-stripe white belt, almost a three-stripe, as from what he tells me. And so he's a lot closer to me as opposed to Father Thomas, our black belt here. And he trains at Action Reaction here in Toronto under Kevin Wheeler for the last, I think, 1.5 years. And he's also done some competition. So we're really, really happy to have him. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
And Father Thomas, as always, happy to have you.
Yep, nice to be here.
Still up in Niverville,
Manitoba. Well, passing the time.
Passing the time, aren't we all? Awesome. Chris, what have you been doing? We were hoping that even though this episode will be airing much later, probably in about a month from now, but as we are recording it right now, we are still in lockdown, unfortunately. We were hoping we'd be out of lockdown. We keep saying that at every episode, but we're still in lockdown with this coronavirus thing, and we're still not training. And I don't know, how are you keeping yourself, and how are you passing the time?
So I'm a chiropractor. I'm allowed to work a little bit, emergency services. So I've been working a little bit, doing some emergency cases, which has been a bit of a blessing. Some people have been in some real problems, and they had no access to their doctors or the hospitals. So we were able to manage to help some people out. Doing a little bit of that, spending a lot of time with the kids, training, doing my own strength and conditioning stuff. I have a gym at my clinic, so I do my stuff there, and doing a lot of bike riding and doing a lot of studying of jiu-jitsu. Not so much practicing. My wife started for about a week. She said, okay, I'll help you out. And she had enough of that. So that was it. I get jealous. I see other guys showing videos of themselves training with their wives, and it's not happening for me, but I'm studying a lot. I'm studying some John Danaher DVDs. So it's been good.
Father Thomas, I know you're one of the lucky ones who does have a wife who will train with you.
Yeah. So I've just been going over. I have one of my criticisms about jiu-jitsu is the same criticism Hicks and Gracie has, that a lot of black belts even don't even know the basics of self-defense. And they know all this advanced stuff for sport jiu-jitsu. And so a couple of years ago, Hicks and Gracie finally made an instructional. And so I bought it. I think I pre-ordered it when it came out. I never watched it because I already know all that stuff. But it's interesting now because I'm going through it with my wife. So instead of me teaching her, I'm like, just, we're going to watch this and we'll do this. This is the more important stuff. So it's interesting to see Hicks and Gracie's take on some of the more basic things, what he calls invisible jiu-jitsu, and going through with my wife, like choke defenses and stuff. So it's pretty funny when she's just trying to learn basic things like that. If I filmed just me and her doing that, it'd be like a hilarious YouTube channel for sure. All right, Chris, I just want to, so you're an older guy like me and Father Ted, and we're older when we started jiu-jitsu. I started when I was 27, I believe, right? And when did you start and how did you get into jiu-jitsu? Especially for me, now knowing that you're a chiropractor, that's interesting because in jiu-jitsu, there's all the awkward positions and what to most people look like it would be unhealthy for the spine. So I would like to know how you got started and your thoughts on that from a chiropractor's perspective.
So I started when I was 37, about a year and a half ago. Before that, like I said, I spent a year doing Sistema Russian martial arts. I was just always interested in martial arts, even as a kid, and self-defense. And like, I liked Bruce Lee. I always watched UFC. The warrior spirit, or the warrior archetype, always called to me. And I guess you can't really fulfill that if you're not doing anything that's warrior-like. So, I played football for 13 years. I played in university, and I missed that, the competing, but I also missed the training for purpose and the growth that comes along with that, you know, the personal growth that comes along with that. So, I was always intrigued by jiu-jitsu. I always thought, you know, I was going to do it at some point, and I just decided to do it and haven't really looked back. I caught the bug, as they say, and yeah. It's really hard to pull back. Even though my age is telling me you got to pull back, my age and the injuries are telling me you got to pull back a little bit. It's tough because there's so much to learn, and it's highly addictive, and you know, you're socializing too at the same time. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun learning a new skill. So I haven't really looked back, you know. I once I started, it was just sort of all in, and now my kids are doing it as well, and my has to bear with me.
Well, that's great. So what about as a chiropractor? How did you think of that when you first?
You know, as a chiropractor, one of the big things that I do in my clinic is, I'm not a traditional chiropractor where you're coming in and I'm cracking, right? So I work with a lot of high level athletes, recreational athletes. And so for me, sport and being active is a part of the cure, right? Now, having said that, jiu-jitsu is rough on the body, and there are certainly some positions that put you at risk. And but if you approach it, I think if you approach it systematically and you have someone like myself who can guide you through the process, you can do it relatively unscathed. I mean, I think injuries are going to happen no matter what, but I mean, what's the alternative, right? Mm-hmm. The alternative for most men after 35 is to not be active, you know, and to gain a lot of weight and just go down this downward slope. And so if that's the alternative, and other sets of diseases, you know, to have a few musculoskeletal injuries, but yet be fit, I think mentally and physically and spiritually fit, I think the trade-off is there for me, even as a chiropractor. And so if once in a while you need to get some treatment, or you structure your strength and conditioning program so that you are doing injury prevention and maintenance, then it should be okay, right? At the same time, if you're sadistic and you don't have a pause button, you don't know like when to say, okay, this is not good for me, mm-hmm. You know, that's a problem too. I think you see that a lot in jiu-jitsu. A lot of overtraining for sure is done in jiu-jitsu. And I've been guilty of that too. So.
So you train at Action Reaction under. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have Kevin Wheeler. I go to the morning classes mostly, I was going to the morning classes mostly with Kevin Wheeler, who's now a black belt, and he's a decorated. Do you know who he is, Father Thomas?
No, I don't. I do not. There's some guys I know who train there, but I don't know everyone who teaches there or anything like that. So,
yeah, he's won the Pans, he's won the Euros, he's done very well. Smaller guy, more technical, which is good for me. It's sort of the contrast to me. I'm you know, more, I guess, muscular and athletic. So, if he forces you to be more technical, if you take his advice, right? So I've done privates with him as well, and a few other guys as well. I've done some privates, and Gringo is there as well. So I do his afternoon classes, and they're fantastic as well. So I would say it's a mix of people, but mostly Kevin. Yeah.
Okay. I see. So what made you decide to start competing at your late age?
Like I said, I mean, I played football. For 13 years, and I went to the East West Bowl here in university. You know, I guess you can say a CFL prospect, maybe. And I missed the competition. I missed what the competition brought out in me. I mean, of course the winning is nice, but at this point it's sort of like, nobody cares really.
Yeah, exactly. White belt. Yeah, exactly.
It's meaningless. White belt. I mean, even if you're 45 and a black belt, it's pretty meaningless other than to you and your circle. Yeah. So why do it? For me, it's strictly personal growth. I like the structure too of a competition. So I know I'm going to train for a competition, and this is what I'm going to do to prepare myself, the preparation. And I always learn new things about myself through that whole process, like I did in football, but even more so I find in jiu-jitsu, because it's an individual sport.
Yeah.
There's a lot of personal growth if you seek it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's one of the reasons I like about competition or hard training, especially training in Toronto on Sundays. And Sunday, since I've been a priest, I'd serve liturgy, and you know, you fast to serve the liturgy and to receive communion. And then I would take catalysis after the consume the remainder of the gifts, because I'm usually the most newly ordained priest. And then get ready to go train, and then maybe have a little bit of Gatorade. So it's like, and then train for 2 hours on Sunday, roll for an hour, and then do some Nogi after. And it's like, what, you're already in a good state because you've worshiped in that morning, right? And you go, and you maybe you haven't eaten as well as you could have, obviously. And it's just those training sessions like that, I find you really find, because like, you're doing it all voluntarily. You're voluntarily there for the hour, 2 hours, and you can leave whenever you want. And you can really see where your mind goes. And it's really interesting like that to just become a better version of yourself.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, having a goal helps, right? So competition, although I haven't competed yet, you know, so mm-hmm. I haven't, you know, put a goal like that ahead of me to be able to kind of train specifically for a specific date for specific, you know, competition. But I can completely identify with what Father Thomas is saying, because, you know, for us, or at least priests, right? Like, you know, our schedule is so demanding that a lot of times, yeah, you're running to the gym, you're running to roll with people, like after like a long day of like serving, right? So you've been standing for 3 hours, so your feet are tired, and you just did a service. You know, maybe you've been fasting, like you said, all day. I remember like during Lent, at least at the beginning of this Lent, before the lockdown happened, right? You know, we had a half of Lent where we were still open, right? So I remember like I train Wednesdays. Like I train Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right? And then sometimes like an extra day, like on a Saturday or something. And on Wednesdays, it's always Wednesday night. So, you know, you're going like all day, you know, full throttle, you know, visiting people, doing whatever you're doing in your ministry. Then you have pre-sanctified liturgy, like at, you know, 5:30 at night, you've been fasting since lunch, you do the evening liturgy, then you jump in the car with your gi, you know, in the back, right? You run and you start class at 7:30 and you're rolling until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, right? With like a bunch of big people. So then by that time you're done, right? Throw intermittent fasting on top, which is what I'm doing now, right? So you're not eating at night anyways, right? So yeah. It's hard. Like it's a drain on the system. But it's good though. Like you feel like a really, like you feel stronger, even though it's like your body is exhausted, but spiritually and mentally, and even in a strange way, physically too, you feel stronger. You feel real good.
All right, Chris, why don't you tell us about what's your religious background, like growing up and currently?
So I'm Greek Orthodox. Born and raised Greek Orthodox. My dad is Greek Orthodox. My mom is Catholic, but we were raised Greek Orthodox.
Are you first generation, or your dad?
Yeah, my dad was born in Greece and okay. Came here when he was young. So, you know, things back then in the 80s were a little bit different. I think culturally here in Canada, you really stuck to your culture, right? Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, that's how I was raised, Greek Orthodox. And, right now I'm still Greek Orthodox. My kids are Greek Orthodox. We're observant. However, I have to say, like, for myself, my own spiritual journey has taken a few turns. I did a year of transpersonal psychotherapy. It was a program after I graduated from chiropractic college where, I studied basically psychotherapeutic techniques, but more in the spiritual sense. Mm-hmm. And we even touched upon superficially Christianity, not in the same way that Orthodoxy would. Mm-hmm. And I found that actually Orthodoxy gave me a really good foundation to understand a lot of the things that we were being taught in this program. And so, you know, we were introduced to some Buddhist concepts and other things like that. And so I have to say, like, I integrate it in my belief system as well with the Orthodox faith as well. So there's things there that are useful and other things that are not, and I discard.
Be like the bee. That's what, like, you know, St. Athanasius the Great, he says, you know, you be like the bee, the bumblebee, you know, you take what's good, you leave what's bad, right?
Yeah.
So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Religious exploration and spiritual exploration.
I think it's good to question everything. Like, I read a wide variety of things, right? Like, from psychology to philosophy to other religions. It's like what you read in Saint Basil has a book called, it's called to something like, it's to youth on the good, on the proper use of Greek literature, and it's basically his writings at his time to young people, or specifically young men, right? And it's about how to properly use pagan literature, right? And so he has a whole book about, so you'll find two extremes in the Orthodox Church, right? Especially now, like, there's a monastic influence where a lot of things are bad and you shouldn't read other things, and then there's another view that that you should read other things and you should be like the bee and take what you can. And even sometimes when you see another perspective, it's not that you'll agree with it, but it helps you clarify from your own perspective why you believe that that perspective is not true, right? So I think it's always good, but it's also always good to question question things in general. That's what I believe.
Sure.
Yeah. I would agree. I would agree. Like, you know, I think you can't, too many of our people, like, you know, what we would say cradle Orthodox, right? Like, Chris, you and I were cradle Orthodox. Father Thomas, he converted it as an adult, right? So, you know, for us, we grew up in it. We take it, a lot of our people, we take it for granted. Ah, you know, I'm Orthodox, I'm Greek, it's the same thing, right? and a lot of times, like, we don't bother exploring our own faith, let alone other religions, right? Like, and I think it's important to do both. I think somebody should be well-grounded in their own faith so they actually understand what they are, or else why be that thing? And then also, it's good to be exposed to other philosophies, religions, things like that, because those things will challenge us. They'll challenge our own faith and make us better. Because if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, then, you know, again, like, why adhere to that belief system? And it's good sometimes. And you know, all of us go through, you know, you get into your late teens, you go into your early 20s. Questioning is good. You have to go through that process. Like, I always tell people that, you know, because people ask me, oh, you know, you were always involved in the church. Did you never question anything? Were you, like, just brainwashed by your parents? I said, no. You know, I was always involved. But I went through my period of time where I started reading about other religions, questioning, why am I Greek Orthodox? Why am I Orthodox? Like, do these things make sense? How do they measure up to, like, you know, against other religions, right? And does this make sense to me? So I had to go through that whole process of testing, you know? And that took a lot of time and a lot of, like, soul searching and, you know, just kind of, like, you know, testing myself. And that's a good thing. That helps define and helps you articulate to yourself who you are, and then also helps you articulate to other human beings, right? And I think that translates also into jujitsu. Okay, you know, the idea of, you know, kind of just bringing it back to the competition aspect, you know, that we were talking about before. It's this idea that, you know, going up against other things is good for us. You know, competition, you know, not battle, like, you know, in a negative way, you want to go hurt somebody, right? But, like, conflict in a positive way, in a kind of, like, a not only an athleticism, but, like, a true competing of individuals, it helps both grow, because it's going to expose my weaknesses, it's going to expose your weaknesses and our strengths. And that's the only way you're going to get better. Like, if I don't go if I don't go up against other people who are better than me, which as a white belt, of course, that's every single day, right? It's like every single day, everyone's better than you, right? Except for that one guy who just joined up and you're so happy to roll with him, right? Because you feel like you can teach him something. But like, if I never go up against people that are challenging to me, then I'm going to think that I know. Or I'm going to think that I'm doing okay. And then you realize, right, that you know nothing. Well, the title of our podcast today is actually not from a religious title, but actually from a Roman poet and philosopher, Seneca. And the saying is, excellence withers without an adversary. And I thought that was quite fitting, since we're discussing competition today, and we're discussing, how competition affects us and, how it can be really good for us. And we were just discussing about you, Chris, kind of getting into competition at a later age, and how it brings out the best in you. And I think that all of us can agree on that, even though not all of us have competed. Father Thomas is a veteran of this. Like, Father Thomas, I don't know how many competitions have you actually participated in? Do you know?
I don't know.
Lost count.
Yeah. That's just because when I started jiu-jitsu under Professor Rodrigo Mandaruca, he just competed. There was no, like, he didn't ask permission. There was nothing like that. It was just, I think that's more like if you train under Brazilians, it's more the competition is just a given. Mm-hmm. I think when I had started in the end of December in 2011, I think in Manitoba, there's like some annual tournaments, like local ones. I guess I must have had my first tournament in April or maybe sooner. I'd have to check, there must have been one before. There was one. There was a small one before that, I remember, because my friend Randall, who now has his own club, he coached me. I remember that.
Were you a white belt when you first competed?
Yeah.
Any stripes?
No.
No, just
one. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure you just, I'm like that. That's my mindset. I think if I had a club and you signed up today and there was a tournament, like today's Monday and there's a tournament on the weekend, I'd be like, hey, sign up for this tournament. 100%. I'd be like, who cares? Have you watched UFC? Yeah, you watched UFC? Okay, well, there you go.
get your feet wet. Go ahead.
No hitting and you'll be fine. Right? That's what I think. I think you just jump in there.
Yeah, in my club, it's like, I wanted to start competing like earlier on, like not because I thought I knew anything, but just because I wanted to get out there and get the experience. I was talking to Father Thomas about this.
Yeah, at our gym, it was encouraged, compete early and compete often. Injuries are a part of everything.
Sure.
I think, you learn from that too. You learn, I mean, anyone who's been injured, and I've been injured and I've had to change up I had surgery last May after the Ontario Open. I had a hernia surgery and, I couldn't come back full out because I wasn't able to explode out of a bridge. And so I worked on guard retention and escapes and just working on guard, which is something that I hadn't done for the first 6 months of my training. I was more of a passer, takedowns, passers, and play the top game. This forced me to play guard. And thank God it was great. I was able to introduce a lot of guard concepts and I feel very comfortable now playing guard. So injuries are part of it. I don't know. It's like, it's all part of the journey and black belts know better than anybody because they've been doing it for longer and that's what they tell me. So I trust it. And as far as competition goes, I think the sooner you get in, especially with an individual sport like jiu-jitsu, the sooner you do it, the more experience you get, the better it is because it's really nerve-wracking. I mean, I've been in team sports all my life and, I used to get nervous with football, but you have your team to rally around. With jiu-jitsu, you're on an island. You're by yourself out there. So it's a different mindset that you have to train to get good at competing in competitions versus competing in your gym. It's very different.
I played football as well in high school, not a university, but like seminary didn't have a football team. So, but yeah, I agree with you. It's a different mentality when you have a team to support you than when you're all alone. Right. And I that's why I'm a big proponent of it. Like I think that it's really important. And from a spiritual point of view, like, and from a psychological point of view, that it's important to face your own demons, right? And really, when you're fighting the other person on the mat, you're really fighting yourself and overcoming that fear. We spoke about this with Father Thomas in some previous episodes, you know, where we were like saying that, you know, it's not only are you overcoming the fear of potentially getting hurt or potentially getting beaten, but it's the fear of your own inadequacies, right? Of your own shortcomings, and how can you get into that mindset without distractions or overcoming yourself? And that's really it's know thyself, right? It's what Socrates said, you know, like it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing in the spiritual life. It's a hard thing in jiu-jitsu to do.
100%. And that's part of why I jumped into competing right away too, was for that reason. The fear of humiliation, that's such a big thing for human beings, myself included. So, you know, those first competitions, oh man, I had such an adrenaline dumps. I've never experienced anything like that. And it was all driven by this fear of being humiliated, which ended up working against me because I lost all my energy and you know, you don't end up doing well that way. And so I had to get that out of my system.
Mm-hmm. That's why you just think like me. I'm a big no gi guy. So it's like if you just think, well, you already look ridiculous wearing a gi, then there's one less thing to be embarrassed about. And that part's already out. You're wearing this ridiculous outfit from like the end of the feudal system in Japan, I guess. Like it's a weird outfit, and you're doing all these. So you get that out. My biggest, do you compete no gi or gi? What's your preference?
Gi. But I think at some point I'll start doing both.
You haven't competed in no gi yet?
I haven't competed in no gi, no. But I really enjoy no gi. Yeah, I just started. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of my biggest complaints about the gi is I get so damn hot. And so it's like you gotta be aware if that happens to you, which happens to me. So you gotta be aware when you're competing in the gi for me, that it's like you have to factor in I'm gonna be hot and uncomfortable until you get your body where you want to be. And you don't know about what the air, for me, especially the air quality in a gymnasium or wherever it is, it can be dry air that can be hard to deal with. But, how have you figured, besides like, the fear of, or I don't know, fear, but like not wanting to be embarrassed, what else have you describe it you've experienced?
So
worried about being injured?
Not really, no. Yeah. Not really.
Yeah, you don't really think of that.
I mean, that's always there. But playing football, I mean, my body's already beat up, right? So for me, that's just part of sport and part of training is it's going to be there. My wife is also a chiropractor and massage therapist. So,
so there you go then.
Maybe I have a safety net there.
Yeah. That's nice.
But with the competitions, mostly it's like Father Ted said, is, you know, facing those demons of, at the very root of it, the inadequacy, right? You know, what does it all mean if you lose? And, you know, understanding that it's pretty meaningless. And yeah. So you can make light of it and have fun with it. So the third competition I did was much better than the first two. And I'd imagine it's just going to keep getting slightly better every time. But who knows? I'm open to whatever it presents itself at the moment.
So wrapping up today, I don't know, final thoughts, gentlemen. You know, as we're kind of hoping that the lockdown will end soon. And, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago to our friend Joanna Shama, who's a world champion. Purple belt, and she was saying that as soon as the lockdown finishes, you know, she's training as if she's going straight into a competition, right? Because for her, she's trying to push that first position in the IBJJF ranking for her weight class and her age group and everything. So That's her goal. Her goal is I'm going straight back into competition. I need to hit at least two competitions and I need to like get double medals in both. She said that was her goal. So for you gentlemen, like what is your goal as soon as the lockdown is lifted, let's say, what are your plans?
My plan is just to train. I feel because my situation is different. Cause I'm waiting to find out where I'm going to be sent.
Sure.
My plans are just to train. And that's as far as I've thought. Nothing competition or cause I don't know where I'm going to be. So sure. Or where I'm going to, or how long I'll have to get settled before if I want to travel back to Toronto or wherever I am. So I feel like I'm just in limbo right now. That's about it for me.
Okay.
Just looking forward to training with someone other than my wife. So.
And Chris, we know you're not training with your wife, so.
Yeah, that's not happening. I think for me, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the travel restrictions and all that sort of stuff. I've toyed around with the idea of the World Masters, doing the World Masters in August. So I kind of had it loosely in my mind and had that in the back of my mind through my training through the year. And we'll see how it goes. Maybe that's on the table if the restrictions are gone. If not, just train and have fun and focus more on try not to overtrain. I think that's a big thing that beginners like myself fall into is overtraining, and I know I did. So I think the next few months will be like, okay, how can I train smart? I want to train a lot, but I got to also train smart so that I don't overtrain. And I haven't fully adapted to the sport. It's just, it's not long enough to adapt to the position. So, you know, how do I pick and choose when I go harder and what do I do in between to still develop, but not be overtrained, right?
Sure.
That's how I'm approaching it.
Nice. Well, hopefully we'll all be back on the mat soon. Maybe it will be a blessing that by the time this episode airs, we'd be back on the mats. But I don't know if that's what you're thinking. And so now we're coming up. We're in mid May now. So when this airs, we'll definitely be in. We'll probably be in mid June. So that'd be nice. It'd be a nice thought. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, and maybe we'll touch base then.
Sounds good.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for being here and talking with us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. That's
we wish you a pleasure. Everything. Yeah, and we hope to see you do well in upcoming tournaments. I know you like it, and we'll be following you, and maybe you'll follow us one day. Who knows?
I'll follow you guys too, for sure. I'll look out for you guys now.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you very much. We'll see each other hopefully soon in person.
Okay. All right. Nice. Take care, you guys.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.